ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Yeah. Jackman.
Hey Chris, how's it going?
G'day.
Has anyone ever called you Jackman before?
They haven't said it exactly like that.
Chris Fowley in the 95 BFM studio for our weekly marijuana media situation, where we do talk about weed in the media, because it's a hot topic in this country at the moment.
It sure is. Every week I'm like, geez, I have to just cut out or forget, one of the two. But there's just so many things we don't get to cover. We try our best, but if we've left you out at any point in time, it's not deliberate.
I'm like sidetracking here. Have there been any really fun or exciting stories recently?
This would have been fun for Abe Gray, who's involved in cannabis law reform down in Otago. Dunedin has been for a very long time, and is the curator of the Whakamana Cannabis Museum. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the other piece of marijuana media that runs in New Zealand is his little segment on Hauraki,
yes,
with Jeremy Wells, mm-hmm, I think. So, which is always good to listen to too. You know, don't want to. Don't leave the B, of course, but you know, yeah, you can tune in for that one little bit, then tune right back.
Both those guys came from BFM. So.
There you go. And smoked weed in this very studio, in fact. If you Google Jeremy Wells and cannabis, it comes up with him smoking weed right here in the studio. Just saying.
Sweet.
Not that we do.
Do you reckon they talk about us?
You know, the hospitality around here, I'm lucky to get a glass of water.
Do you think they shout out our segment on their show? Or?
They should. Hey, but what happened to...
Do you reckon they talk about our segment? Or?
They should. We'll send an emissary a message. So what happened to Abe is he went overseas for something, went over to Australia, apparently on his first official trip for the Cannabis Museum. And on his way back, he had what he's described as a pimply-faced customs kid grilling him, took him aside, and they brought out the other one and they gave him a bit of a grilling. So, you know, it's still going on, you know. Don't let our guard down, everyone. Don't think that the job is done or that we've actually changed the law, because we haven't yet. And a couple of examples of that came out in the media as well just in the last week, where Helen Old, multiple sclerosis patient down in Taranaki, been fighting for quite some time, well over a year to get access, couldn't get it, has actually sadly passed away last week. And also there was another story about a wee girl getting cannabidiol for her very rare condition, which I can't recall off the top of my head, but it's CDKL5. I don't even know what that is. It's an extremely rare genetic disorder. Apparently cannabidiol is well indicated for it. She qualifies for it. She wants to get access to it, with parents too, and PharmAct won't pay for it, and it's just too expensive. So that's, again, another thing that we need to work on, is getting PharmAct, increasing patient access to these products, because affordability is a real barrier. And also this week, the Danish government, on that very topic, government, which is bringing about legal medicinal cannabis in Denmark, and they are going to subsidise it. Their equivalent of PharmAct will be paying for the medicinal cannabis. That was announced this week.
Far out.
Yeah.
So there's a little business model you have a look at, isn't it?
Well, it's that on a cost-benefit analysis, that's what they're based on. So the problem is that the only cannabis products available so far are very expensive. So even if they're just as good as other medicines, they're very expensive. So they don't qualify under PharmAct's cost-benefit. So if we can bring the cost down, which we can easily do by producing it here in New Zealand, then all of a sudden it would qualify under the very same cost-benefit formula.
Speaking of producing it in New Zealand, I've found a little story here about the... Hikarangi Cannabis Company down there expecting intensive planting to be sort of underway. They've become the first business in New Zealand to be granted a license to cultivate the plant for medical purposes. Predicts an economic boom is on the horizon for the Ruatoria and other rural areas throughout the nation. That just sounds great. It's like turn all the farms into weed fields. Get on with it.
That's what Richard Branson recommended. Was it earlier this year or last year?
Where's the stock come from? Is it black market stock to begin with?
Oh, well, that's the problem, right?
You mean
so
the
seeds, that was a couple of weeks ago, that Hikarangi and that story there. But I was actually just down in Wellington with Manu from Hikarangi and a few other people from the cannabis industry, and we had a meeting with the Ministry of Health on behalf of the New Zealand Medicinal Cannabis Council. And so that's good. We're getting some good stakeholder engagement there finally. But yeah, to answer your question, in terms of the genetics of where you start with all this, that's one of these issues that they just haven't even thought about. And we raised it as this issue, and it was really clear they just hadn't even thought about it. So the only country that we're aware of that doesn't allow local genetics to be incorporated into their medicinal cannabis scheme when they make it legal has been Australia. And what that's meant is that every country has had to raise a whole bunch of capital or give away a whole bunch of stock to another company, for example, in Canada or Israel or whatever. And those companies haven't had to do that. Those companies have basically just grabbed illegal cannabis off the street, or they've ordered some off a website, and then they've just said, ha-ha, it's ours, and they've registered it. And then they've got to say to the Australian companies, we want 20% of your stock, or we want millions of dollars of royalties every year.
20%.
So they've all had to get on the share market and go really big and corporate, and it hasn't benefited patients at all.
It's not a particularly good model.
Every other country has just allowed local genetics to be incorporated in some way, and then you get a point of difference. You're actually growing something different to what other people are growing. You can then look at exports. You can actually, you know, do something different to other people, not just replicating what other people are doing. So that'll be an ongoing issue. As I say, it was clear they hadn't really thought of that, but that's something we do need to work on. So there are some other changes happening to the medicinal cannabis bill. All we've heard is kind of rumours and supposition at this point, but apparently the three governing parties reached some sort of agreement over the last week or so, over some changes that we understand are fairly small. Don't get too excited, but they will make a big difference to the people that they're affected by, you know. But it's perhaps not what everyone is really hoping for. But what that also means is that it's not going to be up for a vote this week or next week. You might even be looking at the next legislative session, which starts October 16, goes for another month, so it's sometime in that block. And then that means the third reading, if you can't get that done before they break for the year, then you're looking at February, and it just puts everything back even more. But this is, again, just down to what they believe is important. If it's important enough, they work on it harder and they bring it forward. So that's where we all come in. You got to contact your MP, get in the, you know, writing your letters to the paper, doing all those usual things to make this a political issue again, so that they actually don't just let it drift, but they work hard on making it happen.
Do you get
really
like an
quickly.
Auto reply if you send a message to an MP, or is it like sometimes it's kind of like...
You'll normally get their secretary reply.
Right.
You know, noting that they've brought it to their attention or something like that. But the key is to ask a question and then follow up. You know, don't just send them a big ranty statement. Who likes receiving that, you know?
We've had a texter just ask out of interest if we've ever had anybody complain about this segment and try to get it restricted or stopped. No. Nah.
Goodness
Maybe
me.
John in the beginning.
Well, they could always try, I guess. that's one of the things.
Just
is,
building
you know,
a case.
Yeah.
There was a case of a guy on Great Barrier. No, he said something. Anyway, let's move on.
Hey, and just speaking of the sort of opposition, I actually found with my little internet searches that I do, I found the opposition, everyone. I found the people with the biggest problem against the DAC leaf in New Zealand. They're called Say No to Dope. And then there's like a Ghostbusters big no sign through the dope. Yep. And then they're using Little Orange Man to like promote their scene, which is kind of giving me the shits. And you're saying it's family first.
It is. Say No to Dope.
When you scroll down, it's kind of like, it's real, it's classic, kind of like Americana style scaremongering.
It is.
All these stories are just terrific. It's like, cool, man.
It's like being back in the 80s or 90s in America.
Yeah.
It's really like, what? This is the opposition.
I don't want to shout them out. I just wanted to mention that, look, there is a group of people out there, everyone, who don't get down and just don't be surprised, right?
It is a front for Family First, and you know, I'm super glad they are the opposition. It's awesome.
Okay. Enough said. Thanks, Chris.
Cheers. See you next week.
Another fine edition. Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.